United States.
Lexington. Talking white supremacy. How the right is taking culture war to culture itself.
The woman has a confession to make. Over an elegant dinner, she admits to her companions that sometimes, when she is out with her husband and he is really loud, she shushes him. A normal exchange within a marriage, one might think. But she is white and he is black. Her impulse, she worries, is probably my white supremacy talking. The scene appears in the new mockumentary Am I Racist? By Matt Walsh. A conservative podcaster and filmmaker, Mr. Walsh wants, he has said, to expose the so-called anti-racist hustle of the diversity, equity and inclusion movement. Among the interviews and gags in the film, some outrageous or funny, others silly, this moment registers as poignant, an unsettling glimpse into a couple's life. White supremacy appears to be harming a marriage that seems to be proof of racial progress. Is that because the reality of white supremacy has penetrated so deeply into the woman's subconscious mind that it warps her behaviour? Or because the idea of white supremacy has penetrated so deeply into her conscious mind that she must forever second-guess how she speaks with her husband? The movie dismisses the first question and resoundingly answers yes to versions of the second. It luxuriates in the paradoxes of some anti-racist activists who, while purporting to want to overcome racism, can also treat it as immutable. America is racist to its bones, one consultant tells Mr. Walsh. Clad in tweed and bewigged with a man bun, he pretended to be a solemn white leftist and paid thousands of dollars in fees to beguile anti-racist experts into embarrassing extreme assertions and acts on camera. Republicans are Nazis, declares one of the two moderators of the dinner at which they school the white women in their racism. America, she says, is not worth saving. This country is a piece of shit. A loud crash startles her as Mr. Walsh, a masked waiter, drops a stack of plates. He then leads the women in a toast. Just raise a glass if you're racist, he says, and they do. Mr. Walsh contrasts the anger, not to say nihilism, of the activists, which he sees as fermenting racism, with the hopeful, accepting views of some just plain folks. Why would you want to forget they're black, growls a white man in a biker bar, after Mr. Walsh, in his earnest DEI persona, tries to explain what he has learned. You should embrace them being black. In another scene, a black woman tells Mr. Walsh, we didn't see colours, baby, because we grew up together and there was a lot of love. Those dissonant yet harmonious messages might warrant a hearing on the right now more than on the left, as Springfield, Ohio, quakes beneath fact-free claims by the Republican presidential ticket that Haitian immigrants are eating pets. Indeed, the movie seems counter-cyclical. As The Economist reports this week, concerns over such matters as white privilege peaked 3 years ago, after the protests against the police killing of George Floyd. Yet, Am I Racist? Is finding a sizable audience. Released on September 13th, it was fourth at the box office in its first weekend, bringing in $4.5 million and beating out a new action movie, The Killer's Game. Lexington saw the film in Times Square, the very belly of the Blue Beast. The small theatre was filled with a youngish audience, mostly but only mostly white. Critics panned The Killer's Game. By contrast, Am I Racist? Has not been reviewed by a mainstream publication, though it has received a 99% audience rating on the fan site Rotten Tomatoes. Predictably, silence from left-of-centre publications has sharpened interest from the right. Elon Musk has tweeted in solidarity. The film is the first wide theatrical release from The Daily Wire, a conservative media company. It adds a new dimension to the parallel right-wing cultural universe, encompassing everything from rap music to fashion. We say often on the right that politics is downstream from culture, but we're afraid to actually make culture. We just like to critique it all day, Jeremy Boring, a founder of The Daily Wire, said at the premiere. The Daily Wire is making culture. Maybe, as the filmmakers hope, the movie will attract and amuse people disinclined at first to agree with its messages. More likely, this cultural parallelism will lead to more mockery and caricature on both sides, uncomplicated, like the polarization of the news media, by much engagement or debate. Mr. Boring praised Mr. Walsh for using the left's own playbook against them, deploying tricks devised by Sacha Baron Cohen, whose mockumentaries embarrassed prominent conservatives, among others. The genre is largely lost on Lexington. Laughing at the manipulation and humiliation of the unwitting, however annoying they may be, can leave an unpleasant taste. Like Mr. Baron Cohen, Mr. Walsh is a quick-witted impostor. Unlike him, he is a soothingly mild one. His most sensational trick ensnares Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility, a bestseller. Though she is clearly uneasy, he prompts her to take cash from her wallet to give to his producer, who is black, as reparations. Subsequently learning she was fooled, Ms. DiAngelo said she donated Mr. Walsh's fee of $15,000 to the NAACP Defense Fund. Of Mr. Walsh and his allies, she said, they will not prevail in their efforts to stop the work for racial justice. But what has become of that work? The left is due for a reckoning over the reckoning on race. The protesters have moved on, the book sales have dried up, the DEI departments are emptying, and the elite white grovelling and self-flagellation recorded by Mr. Walsh have been, on the left, politely memory-holed. Yet a movement concerned with structural injustice has achieved little structural change, whether to policing or the black-white wealth gap. Was it all, in the end, just a performance?